Welcome to this month's special guest interview.
This month, I'm very pleased to have Maria Mercola as my special expert guest. Maria Mercola has been a professional NCCP Level 3 gymnastics coach for 15 years, is a ISSA certified personal trainer, and an ISSA performance nutrition advisor. Maria has her own personal training business called M2 Fitness and Nutrition and works part-time in a health food store as a registered natural products advisor. Maria has competed successfully as a drug-free bodybuilding athlete for the past 8 years. She has placed first in several bodybuilding competitions, represented Team Canada at the 2003 IFBB Women's World Amateur Bodybuilding Championships, and won 2 pro cards in 2006 with 2 separate natural bodybuilding organizations. Good morning, Maria, and thanks for participating as my special expert guest on this edition of SNU.
Hi, Corey. Thanks for having me.
Well, my interest in gymnastics, I'm telling you, when I watch the Olympics, that is my favorite part of the Summer Olympics. I am just so awe-inspired by their physiques and their performance. So what was it about gymnastics that drew you into it, and then what led to you becoming a coach?
Well, much like you, I really enjoyed watching it on TV and everything. But for me, it started where my sister and I have an identical twin sister. We both did a little bit of gymnastics through public school, like in grade 3 where we learned some basic rolls and whatnot. And then in grade 8, we learned walkovers. We stopped for a few years there because we weren't just getting the coaching that we wanted. So when we moved to the Sarnia-Lambton area where I'm living now, just before we started high school, we met a girl in high school who was in competitive gymnastics. We went to one of her practices and watched, and we were just amazed. We wanted to fly through the air like she did. She taught us a lot of the gymnastics skills, mostly at parks, at her house, or on her backyard trampoline. We were in the high school gymnastics in grade 9. We finally talked my mom into letting us join the gymnastics club where her friend was training us. Started in this teen time class, but only my sister and I were in it. So my friend was able to teach us, but we had all the equipment necessary for us to train. They canceled our class and put us into a display team. From there, we continued to learn rapidly. We just loved the sport so much. And all we could think about was gymnastics all through high school. We'd give up all kinds of parties and whatnot just to go train. Then after they moved us from the display team, they put us into the competitive program because we learned so quickly. After that, we had 2 new coaches move into the gym and everything. Then we were moved into another group. It was a senior group where they took us high school kids and put us into one group. And my sister and I, and like I said, we started gymnastics really late, but coaches seemed to realize that my sister and I really wanted to learn, and we picked up really fast, so they continued to work with us. They worked with us even more. Then I became a coach, became more involved in gymnastics, like coaching on the coaching aspect of it. My sister and I started around 15 years old. We were coaching gymnastics because we were helping to pay for our own gymnastics classes. My mom couldn't afford to pay for the both of us at the same time, so we had to help out. So we started coaching gymnastics. That's all we knew what to do. I didn't know anything about working in any fast food restaurants or anything like that, like most high school kids would do. Then I decided that I wanted to go and become a gymnastics coach. After watching and working with my gymnastics coaches, I was just, you know, motivated to become a gymnastics coach as well. So I went through a coaching diploma program at Seneca College in Toronto for 2 years, working with national and international level coaches and gymnasts even. And then I learned a lot of my spotting technique through my coach before I went there, so I was ahead of the game. My sister also did the same thing, but we both graduated with high honors on the dean's list in all 4 semesters, so it was really a really good part of my career anyway. I've left that behind me now, and I started my own business.
Well, that's good for you. And so tell me, what's the difference between a good coach and a bad coach?
Like, every kid is different. You're going to have kids that are really, really motivated. You're going to have kids that aren't. And to find a way to motivate these kids positively, to get them to do what you want them to do, and to be able to pick out the talents that they have and use those talents in order to teach them, I would think that would be a really excellent coach. Those coaches that are having a hard time to, like sometimes you're going to have, everybody learns differently. Not every child is going to be able to learn the same way. So generally you might take a class and work with all of them and teach them a certain way of learning a skill, but some kids aren't going to pick up. So now you have to come up with a different way to teach this child, the one that's having difficulty. So that was my specialty, was always to try and catch up those kids that were lagging behind, to catch them up with the rest of the kids. So I was able to develop elite-level athletes at a young age.
Well, let's talk about the sport of gymnastics. What are the different events? And can I assume that you worked with only females, or did you work with the boys as well?
No, you're right. I did only work with females. It was primarily a female gymnastics club. You can't really mix the two. It just doesn't work. Normally, there's a men's club elsewhere. Like I know in Burlington, there's a boys' gymnastics club, and then there's a girls' gymnastics club. You just can't put them together. Doesn't work that way, but yeah, I mostly worked with women.
Because the events, except for the floor routine, are pretty different, aren't they?
Yeah, they do have different requirements for men's floor as they do for women's floor. There's certain movements that the men have to have in their floor routines. They don't have music to their routines, although there are a few that are starting to use music. But there's only 4 apparatus for women and 6 for men. And vaulting is even though they vault, they use the horse in a different manner. The women keep the horse the short way, so they go over a short part of the horse, whereas the men turn the horse the long way and have to go over it the long, you know, it's more difficult for them.
Right, and what is the most difficult thing about being a gymnast, like in terms of the training and the actual practicing?
It's a lot of hours. I mean, you're really, really committed to the sport if you want to get to a national and international level and even aspire to be an Olympic-level gymnast. You have to have, first, a talent for the sport, because not everybody's going to be an Olympian, but you have to put in a lot of hours. A lot of those national-level and international-level gymnasts train upwards to 20 hours a week. So there's a sports school that's been developed, and they're starting to come up with a few more, but I know there was a couple here in Ontario, and I worked at one of them, where the athletes would actually train in the morning for a couple of hours, then they'd go off to school, and then they'd come back in the evening right after school's finished, and then they'd train for a few more hours, like 3 more hours, and sometimes they even go 4. It all depends on how their school system's set up and everything, too. So they get in about 20 hours a week. And then if a competition's coming up, sometimes the coaches will bring them an extra day, so they'll get like 24 hours of training in.
Well, I sure wish they had those sports schools around when I was a kid growing up, and that's great to hear. I think that's what they have had in, you know, the European countries and China for a long time, haven't they?
Yeah, that's where these ones have been kind of copied from the European countries, because they've had them there for quite some time now, and we're starting to catch up to them. And women's and men's gymnastics, both in the Olympics, are starting to do, like, they're getting up there, and like, whereas in the past they haven't done so well, but now we're actually up there and in the running sometimes, so we've produced some good kids.
Now, when it comes to girls and their body composition and their weight and eating, that must be a big issue for some of the young girls.
Sometimes it is, depending on the coach, too. I mean, if some coaches push and push and push to tell the kids, you know, some of them will say, oh, like, the bad coaches are the ones that tell their kids that you're fat, you're fat, you're fat, and it's putting a negative impact on this child, and then that's when they run into the eating disorders. In all the years I've coached gymnastics, I've never, ever done that with any of my athletes. And then some coaches even go to the point where they weigh their kids all the time. Young girls go through puberty, so there's bound to be a change. When they're changing like that, you can't tell them that they're supposed to weigh so much. It's like their bodies just have to change. You can't hold them and stop them. To a certain extent, with the girls training that many hours, they can stunt their growth for some time, like, not really stunt their growth, but stop puberty for a short time until finally their bodies just say, okay, we have to grow now, you know. Because I know I was a late bloomer myself, but I think that just was not partly because of gymnastics. I think it was just because it's hereditary for me. But I know for some kids it's been like that, where they just develop a lot later.
Now, you're working in a health food store part-time, and you've got some schooling in that area, and with your experience as a bodybuilder and a powerlifter and a gymnast, what are some of the principles you're teaching these young kids when it comes to nutrition?
I try to tell the kids, like, if I'm working with young children, and even with my clients in my personal training, it's like, it's they have to eat healthy. Yeah, it's okay to have some of the fun foods that are out there. We call them fun foods because you don't want to, you know, say junk food or anything, but call it more fun foods for them, that it's okay to have them every now and then. You can't deprive kids of those things because they're going to want them even more. But to have it occasionally, but they have to have well-balanced meals, just like anybody else.
How do you find their eating habits in general, like the kids that you're coaching? Do they come in? Are they willing to give up things to improve their performance, or is that even an issue of contention?
In most cases, when I was working with the kids and everything, they were pretty receptive to it. Every now and then I'd ask, okay, so what did you pack in your lunch today, or, you know, what did they take to school, or what did you have for your snack or something? The kids were really good at, you know, oh, well, I had an apple, or I had a really good sandwich, or like some roast beef sandwich, or whatever they had kind of thing. And it's like, oh, that's a good choice. And then sometimes I would even quiz the kids, especially the younger ones. I would quiz them and say, okay, well, what's better for you, a bag of chips or an apple? And the kids would go, an apple. It's like, yeah. So I would just encourage the kids to pick healthier choices rather than go after certain things. But for the most part, they're a little bit more aware of what they're eating. And, of course, you have to, you know, educate the parents as well, because most of the time they're the ones that are packing the meals for the kids and making the suppers for the kids when they come home. And so they're the ones that have to be more educated sometimes than sometimes some of the kids. But, I mean, if the kids know, then they can help their parents along. It's like, no, Mom, I need to have this instead of this kind of thing. So,
what about your own transition from gymnastics to bodybuilding? Did you just find that was a natural thing?
Yeah, actually, it kind of was. I did gymnastics for a while. I injured my knee. It was just a fluke accident off the balance beam, and it kind of put my competitive career to a halt. So right around the time I was graduating from high school, so that kind of finished my career. If I hadn't gotten injured, things may have played out a lot differently for me, but I went away to college, and I came back, and I took up competitive trampoline with my sister, and I excelled in that sport, got to a national level, not in the sport I wanted to, but got to a national level in that sport. Then when I came back, I got into windsurfing, and that kept me in shape for the summertime, but I had nothing to do in the winter months. So I ended up going into the gym, started lifting weights, and I totally enjoyed it. I moved over to the States for 2.5 years there, found a gym to work out in, developed a competitive gymnastics program at one of the clubs there, and then I got into bodybuilding, and windsurfing took a back seat. So I just used the weightlifting to stay in shape for myself, because with the amount of hours I used to train and being such a competitive sport and everything, I wanted to do something that kept me interested, you know, and in shape and everything. And then bodybuilding came along, and it was like, wow. When I did my first competition, I thought, this is amazing. This is actually filling my void, the void that was missing. There was something missing, and this filled it. So I took off with that.
Now, when it comes to weight training, from your perspective, what changes did you experience when you started bodybuilding, like in your physique? What are some of the things that you noticed right away that were changing in your appearance?
It's kind of funny, because I look back at some of my pictures and everything. I was already in really good shape at the time when I first started weight training, especially over in the States. When I first walked into a gym there and everything, I looked like a fitness competitor, but like to me, I looked like a gymnast. But I didn't really pay much attention to fitness and bodybuilding at the time. I flipped through the magazines and everything, and I'd look at those pictures and go, wow, like I've always liked muscle and the muscle movement and the way it moves and everything. So when I was coaching my little gymnasts, those were muscular little kids and everything, and they were well-defined little athletes, and I just loved watching their bodies move and watching their muscles move. So when I was in the gym training and everything, I liked seeing the definition that was coming out in me. Not so much I saw that as a gymnast, but when I was actually weight training and, you know, I got my eating in control and everything, and I thought, I think I've got this eating covered now. I know what I'm doing. And then I started seeing changes. But then, like, my body looked really good at the time. And then when I got into bodybuilding, one of the owners at the gym there gave me this generic diet to follow, and it was like carbs and protein, carbs and protein. And I'm kind of going, I don't know if I want to do this. So I ended up following that meal plan, and I lost all the definition. And I'm going, no, this isn't the result I'm supposed to have. I didn't do as well on that at that first competition that I competed in, but I ended up, when I stepped up on stage, I thought, like, and all these people were cheering for me. I thought that was amazing, you know, and that's why I continued with doing it, because it kind of filled the gymnastics that I lost. But I didn't see a great-looking physique up on stage either, so the next time I decided to get into a competition, I met up with a fitness competitor, and she helped me with my diet and everything, and I helped her with her gymnastics background, with her gymnastics for her fitness competition, and we became really good friends, and I really saw a change in my physique. I put on a lot more muscle. She gave me a different workout program, and I put on more muscle, more quality muscle, and I saw way more definition than I did the first time around, so big difference. Diet has a lot to do with it.
I noticed on your website that you emphasize protein.
Yeah.
And that you felt that a lot of women don't get enough protein. How many grams of protein do you try and get in a day?
What did I do? I had measured it out. I don't really measure my protein that much anymore. I pretty much eyeball it because I know what I need. But I tend to do 1 to 1.5 grams of protein per pound of lean body mass for myself. There aren't enough women that eat protein. When I ask them, like when I'm sitting down with a consultation with one of my clients, it's like, well, give me a typical day of eating. And a lot of the times, they'll only eat protein maybe once in the day. And that's usually at supper time.
Do you get into protein shakes, and do you recommend them?
Yeah, I do, especially for those who are extremely busy and they don't have time to, like, eat a meal or they're lacking a couple of meals. It's like, put a protein shake in there. At least you're getting something in you. Your body's using its muscles all the time. You have to repair them, so you have to get a little bit more protein in. So I do tell people to drink protein shakes.
What are some of your favorite dietary supplements?
Definitely protein shakes. I like those too because sometimes I'm on the go as well, and so I will drink a protein shake if I'm on the run.
Is that like a meal replacement, or do you like take a whey protein and mix it with other things?
It's mostly a whey protein for me. I don't so much go into the meal replacement type things unless I do a protein bar, and that's occasionally. But I don't live off of those, not like some people might. I've heard that some people do that as well, but I don't. Mine's mostly protein because I just want to get some protein in there. I know I need some carbs with it sometimes, but if I'm too busy and I just, in between clients, I'll just drink a protein shake and away I go.
What about things like antioxidants or nutrients such as the essential fatty acids?
Yeah, I do take those as well. I always advocate a multivitamin too, and I like there's usually those once a days, and I don't really agree with them. I'd rather do a multivitamin that you take 2-3 times a day. The one that I like is normally 3 times a day because your body is always using its nutrients. So, like, if you only give it once a day, it's not going to last you to the end of the day. So I like to split mine up. And that's with a lot of my vitamins and minerals that I take, even with the essential fatty acids and whatnot. I like to split it up and take it throughout the day with all my meals.
Now, I noticed you're also very strong. I couldn't believe the amount of weight that you were bench pressing. What is your body weight?
Usually, I'm around, when I lift that, I'm usually around 140, 145, I guess. It's kind of like my off-season. Sometimes, I'm closer to competition weight, which is maybe about 130. I try to compete around 125, and usually I'm maybe around 130 or 135 when I'm benching. For the bench press contest, we have this annual bench press contest at our gym, and I love to participate in it. It's a fundraiser for Pathways Health Center for Children, and we always fundraise money for them, and I enjoy going in there and challenging myself as to how much I can lift. So
you were lifting like 220 pounds?
Yeah, that was the... I have done 225 before, but not in competition, so... That's my goal, to get 225 in a competition.
Now, would you describe your body type as being more ecto? Like, do you have generally a fast metabolism, and you're a hard gainer, hard to put weight on? Or
No, that's not the case for me. I'm more of a meso towards the endo side, kind of, yeah.
And would you say that most gymnasts and women with your background, like, that's an enormous amount of strength. Most men can't even bench press their own weight, so... Why is it that you have such strength in your pectorals and triceps? And is that common? Do you see that in other gymnasts?
Well, yeah. In depending on the gymnast, I think, like, the ectomorph-type gymnast, no, you're not going to get that kind of upper body strength. It's more towards the meso that you'll see those girls with upper body strength, because, like, in gymnastics, you have to do a lot of upper body work on the uneven parallel bars. And I love that apparatus. I just love doing that apparatus. I know when I first started, I couldn't do a set of 10 chin-ups when I first started training in gymnastics, but I could do 3 sets of 10, no problem, easy. Now, and even now, I can, like, if I stop doing chin-ups for a while, I tend to lose a little bit of strength, but if I start training it on a regular basis, it comes back pretty quickly. Same with my flexibility and everything. But those gymnasts that tend to be more of meso, they tend to have a lot better upper body strength and pick up a lot faster, whereas the gymnasts with ectomorph-type frames struggle on uneven parallel bars. So upper body strength is a little bit weaker for them.
Now, you compete as a natural bodybuilder, and I consider bodybuilding to be divided. There's the natural and what I call pharmaceutical. Can you tell by looking at someone if they're on steroids or taking any pharmaceutical agents?
Yeah, you can. You really can. If you really look, sometimes you can tell. Sometimes it's really easy to tell, sometimes it's not. It all depends on the athlete and how much they're taking, that type of thing, and how much of the femininity they have or how much they've lost. And it's quite interesting because you might see someone that you haven't seen in a while and they were feminine looking, and then you see someone not that long afterwards and it's like, wow, have they ever changed, like dramatically. So you kind of think that, okay, there's something going on, and you kind of watch them in the gym or whatnot too, or even within a year's time, they've gone from being not very strong to being extremely strong, you know. So that's a big difference. You can even tell if they've increased in size rapidly, if they even develop a lot of acne, whereas they've never had it before. Their voices change by getting deeper. And the trapezius muscles are really enhanced, whereas women don't tend to have a very large trapezius muscles. They tend, and some women even grow facial hair. So, but a lot of the times you may not notice that one because they may try to take that off. So when you see them in the gym, that might not be as evident. But they lose that feminine look and they become harsher and rougher looking, even facially, just looking at them. So you do see a difference.
When I first saw your physique, I thought of symmetry, which, as you know, is probably the most important quality or characteristic in bodybuilding. So you have a very symmetrical physique, and you do look natural, a splendid physique. Now, has anyone ever criticized or maybe challenged you and said that maybe you take steroids, and how did that make you feel?
You know, at first when I got that comment, like, I remember going into the gym one day, and I was training by myself, and there was a couple of young kids beside me on another bench, and they were training together, and I could hear one talking to the other, and he basically said, she must be on something, because I was lifting fairly heavy weights, and I thought, geez, and I was a little bit upset with that, and I'm thinking, how could they think that? But then I was talking with the owner of the gym, who's really, really motivating for me, too. He's just an inspiration to me. But anyway, I had told him, and he goes, you should consider that as a compliment, because you are natural, and you know you are, and there's no signs showing that you aren't, because they just looked at what I could lift, and they just assumed that I was taking something, when in actual fact, I'm not. So now when people actually comment on me, and I've had a few IFBB pros even comment thinking that I was taking something when in actual fact I'm not. So now when somebody says that, it's like, no, I'm actually natural. And they're going, wow, I thought you would be using something. It's like, no. So now I kind of think it as a compliment.
What about the rule in natural bodybuilding that allows people who have used steroids but a perimeter of maybe 5 or 7 years? Do you agree with that?
Well, no, because sometimes they can actually keep some of the results that they've gotten from the pharmaceutical drug that they were using. So I kind of don't think that is really fair. Some people, if the person continues lifting weights after they've gotten off the product, then, yeah, they're going to keep some of their results. But for those who have taken something and, let's say, stopped training for a couple of years, they'll have lost the results. Then they could get back into the sport and train and maybe get back into the sport and decide to compete in bodybuilding, then not so much so, because they're not going to have an advantage like somebody who continued to train. But And all in all, I really don't think, I mean, if you're going to be competing in a natural show, you should be natural. It's just, that's the bottom line, really.
Absolutely, and I wholeheartedly agree. But I guess they want to draw in greater numbers, and in my experience in bodybuilding, even the natural now has been compromised in many ways.
It has.
It's unlike the original virtuous life that it is, because bodybuilding is not just about competing. It's a life, and it's an attitude. It's a state of mind, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, totally. It really upsets me when I do see people coming in there, and I know that they're using something. I mean, there are some shows that, like, some shows that I compete in are drug tested, whereas, and I have gone to the non-drug tested side, but that's a chance that I want to take, so I want to play in their game. But if they want to come and play in my game, then get off the stuff, don't even use, and try competing like that. Just recently, a 20-year-old boy came to me into the gym and started talking to me, and he came out right and told me that he was using a cycle, and I thought, oh my God, you're only 20 years old. What are you doing to yourself? It's like, have you even been checked out by your doctor? Does your doctor even know? I just started quizzing the kid, and he's like, well, like, I think he assumed that I was using something too. And it's like, no, you just ruined yourself. It's like, why can't you do it naturally, like it should be? So I'm disappointed in that, but...
When you're working with females in the gym as a coach, as a personal trainer, what are some of the struggles that go on with women, like regarding their body composition? Do they feel pressured by society? Do they lack self-esteem? Are they addicted to foods? What are some of the common problems you see in some of the girls?
Well, for most women, they don't like the way they look. Yes, that's the number one thing, and they want to change that. That's why they come into the gym, and they want to change. So, and a lot of the times when I talk to them, I find that their diets aren't on, so we have to make some changes to their diets and whatnot, and, you know, have them have better food choices. Some of them, it could be self-esteem issues more so, but it's pretty much that. They want to look a lot better and be able to, you know, feel comfortable with the way they look and be able to wear some of the things that they like to wear without being self-conscious about themselves. So we do change their meal plans and everything, and I tell them, because a lot of them come in, oh, I just want to tone. Well, you know what? There's no such thing as really toning. You have to, either you lift weights or you don't, so you build muscle or you don't. So, because they're going, well, I don't want to get that big. Well, you're not. Most women, and that's what they're all afraid of when they do come into the gym, oh, but I don't want to get big. Well, you're not going to get big. You're just going to make your muscles grow a little bit more, so that'll increase your metabolism, so it'll help you burn body fat a little bit more effectively. So I try and educate them as to what they need to do and go from there, kind of thing, and monitor them, making sure that they're eating properly. I ask them quite often, well, how are you doing with your meal planning and whatnot? I don't call it a diet because it's the four-letter word, and when you say diet, people don't want to follow it. But when you call it meal planning, it's like, okay, well, let's think a little bit more, and it's planning. It's actually planning ahead and deciding what you're going to eat before you actually go and do it, kind of thing.
Coming into the health food store industry as an athlete with a background in more or less mainstream gymnastics, do you feel that there is a distance between the consciousness of food, organics, real food, in the athletic sector compared to the mentality taught and the philosophy in the health food? Do you sort of feel or see that difference?
I'm starting to see more, I do see a lot of older people coming into the store looking for more organics, but now it's starting to go a little bit more towards the athletes as well, and they are coming in for more supplementation, whereas before they haven't. But I'm starting to see a little bit more of that, where athletes are a little bit more aware of what they eat and try and get more into the organic-type foods rather than chemically sprayed ones. So it is starting to come around, and they're starting to read a little bit more as to what they should be taking and how they can improve themselves a little bit better in that sense.
Do you ever feel isolated or alone in the health food industry, being an athlete in such great shape?
No, not at all. I like to take all the information that I know and pass it on to them and try and educate them as best I can, and hopefully that they've made some changes to their meal planning and whatnot and try and get themselves into better shape. I don't really train an awful lot of bodybuilders per se. Most of my clients are just the general population who want to improve their overall health. So by me doing that. And yeah, there are a few that are really into like fitness, but not to the extent that I am, but they are wanting to make changes in their own lives where they want to improve their well-being and everything. So I love sharing that information. Even in the health food store when people come in, I try and share as much of that information as possible, so to educate them and hopefully get them inspired to do the same.
Good for you, Maria. That's very, very positive, and you're such a great role model. You're just bubbling with enthusiasm and vitality. Tracy told me that you would be. So
well,
our time is gone, and if anybody would like to get to you, contact you, look you up for business, or to see what you've got, do you have a website?
Yeah, it's www.mariamikola.com. That's MariaMikola.com.
Wonderful.
So, yep.
Excellent. So thanks very much for being my special guest on
this edition of SNU.
And as a final comment, we always ask each of our special guests to perhaps give us a word of inspiration. And our theme this year is health and what it means to you.
Well, for me, it means being in the best shape I possibly can be, whether you're competing in a sport or not. That doesn't really matter. It's just feeling good about yourself, getting into the optimal weight range that you need to be in just to feel better, to be able to go out and do the things that you used to do, and to live life to its fullest, to enjoy what's out there and having better choices, because things have changed so dramatically over the years. People are starting to go back more towards healthier living like we did in the past and everything. I grew up on a farm, so I had all the organic stuff out there. I'd like to get back to that kind of stuff and trying to get others to get back into that. So eating healthy and exercising and getting into shape is the best way to do it.
Maria Mikola is a professional coach, a very successful competitive natural bodybuilder, and a great inspiration to men and women in her area. We thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
We hope you've enjoyed the topics discussed and our special guest interview on this edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU is produced monthly and is distributed internationally by the Corey Hawley Institute. To learn how you can subscribe to this unique and motivational audio program, please visit CoreyHawley.com or call us toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 1-866-433-1595. That's 1-866-433-1595. This is Scott Barrett, wishing you the very best of health and fitness for life.
Representing lifestyle. New way of life. Listen. It's SNU, sing along, it's true. Yo, coming through straight, Malik, with Sports Nutrition Update. Prolong your life, live long, stay strong, for it won't be long till your time is gone. So I sing this song to pass on wisdom. Hit us up at CoreyHawley.com. Love your life, live right, things will be alright. Knowledge is key, just follow our lead. You'll see ya changing heart and health, which leads to wealth and higher self-esteem. Follow your dreams and see. Follow your dreams and see.